All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. I want you to turn to one passage in the New Testament, and then we're going to go back to the Old Testament. But let's begin in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. All right, everybody got it? Okay, if you haven't found it, just look intelligently at whatever page you might happen to be on, all right? You should have found it by now. All right, let's begin. I want you to look back at verse 2 of chapter 3, verse 2. Paul says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Now, you know, if you start a baby off on milk, on either breastfeeding or bottle feeding. Now, if a child is 5 or 6 years old and is still on the bottle, there's a problem. All right? There's a problem. So Paul said here that I want to feed you meat. I think you are have been saved long enough, and I want you to be dining on the meat of the Word of God. But Paul said, I just can't quite do that yet because verse 3, you still got a lot of worldliness in you. And there's a lot of envying and strife and divisions. And you walk like unsaved men. So I'd like to give you some meat, but I'm going to have to give you some milk. All right, so he takes us back now. The point is he's taking these people back to the foundation, all right, to the foundation. Now, we all know that the foundation is the most important part of any structure. If the foundation is not right, then the building is not going to be right. You're supposed to say amen right there. Amen. All right, are y'all here? Do you speak English? Everybody speak English? All right, so if the foundation is not right, the building is not right. All right, very good. And so so Paul is going to talk about the foundation to make sure that these Corinthians understand the very basics of what they need to know. All right, and so in verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But every man, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now, look at the next verse. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. All right, now, what's that saying? Well, plainly, Paul is saying that there's only one foundation upon which any of us can build our spiritual house. All right, one foundation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know Christ as your personal Savior. You have to know and understand that the Lord is your Savior. That's foundational. That's fundamental to building any kind of structure in your life. You've got to have, you've got to have the foundation right. All right, now, take your Bible now and go back to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings and chapter 5. All right, 1 Kings chapter 5. All 1 Kings chapter 5. And I want us to begin reading in verse 13. All right. 1 Kings 5, beginning in verse 13. The Bible says, "And King Solomon." So we're talking here about King Solomon building the temple. All right. Now, you remember David wanted to build it, and God said, No, you've got too much blood on your hands. You can't build the temple. So your son, Solomon, will build it after you're dead. And that's exactly what happened. Now, what we learn here is that David built or had all of the superstructure made. It was all prefab. Everything was made, and it was just sitting there. You know, when you build a house, the first thing you do is the what? The foundation. Exactly right. You get the foundation laid, and then you build the house on top of that. That's the superstructure. All right. So when they built the temple, David got all the superstructure ready, and it was just laying there, ready to be put together. Now, if you can think about a kid with a box of Legos, and it's amazing to me that they can take all those little pieces and put them all together, and they come up with a car, or they come up with an airplane, or they come up with a boat, and they just do it by putting it all together. Well, back in Bible times, they used dowels, and they would pound dowels into the wood in order to have it hold. And all that was pre-cut, everything was ready. And once the foundation was laid, and Solomon laid the foundation, and that's what we're reading about here, then they just could take what David had already had made and piece it together, just like a kid puts together a Lego puzzle. All right, so the people of Jerusalem, we read in the Bible that they were astounded because they did not hear the sound of construction. They did not hear the sound of construction, and yet the building was being built. And they were astonished by that. There was so much quiet and so little noise that was being made. And the reason was because David had already had it all pre-cut and pre-fabbed and pre-made. And all they had to do was piece it together. Isn't that amazing? All right, that's another sermon. That's not what I'm preaching on this morning. But look at verse 13 now, and we'll read about the foundation. All right, it says, "And King Solomon raised a levy." Now, you know what a levy is? A tax, exactly right. Who said that? Who said that? Tom Neal. All right, thank you, Tom. That was a levy is a tax. All right, now you can tax many different ways. And when we think of taxes living here in the People's Republic of Maryland, we automatically think of our taxes, don't we? Yes, and that goofy rain tax we had a couple of years ago. Well, King Solomon put a tax on the people, only this was on specific people. All right, look at what he did. He raised a levy out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men. 30,000. Now you think of that, folks. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And he sent them to Lebanon. 10,000 a month by courses of a month they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at home, and Adoniram was over the levy. And Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens. So there were 70,000 men who were drafted to bear burdens. Now, what does that mean? That means to carry loads. They had to carry the loads. There were four score, look at verse 15, and 40,000 hewers in the mountains. Now, what are they hewing? Well, they're hewing the cedars of Lebanon. They were cutting down trees and bringing them to use as the paneling inside the temple. Beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300 which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded, now watch this, and the king commanded, and when he commanded, they brought great stones, costly stones, and hewed stones. Now, do you know what a hewed stone is? That's one that's cut to measurement. That's one that is cut to measurement. And they brought in hewed stones to lay the what? Foundation of the house. All right, now, I want to speak to you this morning on building on the right foundation. Building on the right foundation. Now, remember from 1 Corinthians 3, there is no other foundation than that which God has provided, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Please remember that. And now let's go back to this Old Testament story and notice here that the king commanded and they brought in stones, costly stones, and hewed stones, in other words, stones cut perfectly to lay the foundation of the house of God. So let's pray and end the message. Father, I pray you'll bless this. I pray you'll help us to look at the foundation and see it clearly this morning. And I pray that you will help us to determine that we are standing on the right foundation. We are building our spiritual house on the right foundation. So, Father, bless this morning. I need your help as I speak. And I pray you'll help our folks as they listen. And just give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want you to notice here in verse 17, the Bible says that the king commanded. All right, the king commanded. That is the beginning of it all. That's where it starts. When the king spoke, they did what the king told them to do. All he had to do was give the order, and immediately his order was carried out. And folks, I submit to you that God did the same thing. The great king, God the Father, spoke, commanded, and the Lord Jesus, his son, came down to this earth and went to the cross so that he could be the foundation of our salvation. And I thought to myself as I read this, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Christians in this world today would at once follow our Lord's commandments just like these servants followed the commandments of their king. The king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and hewed stones. They did not omit one thing that was asked of them by their king. On Friday, we had the Soul Winners Directors College, and I spoke there Friday morning, Dr. Smith and I, he preached a message challenging them on getting the program going, and then I preached a message, and I preached on the wedding feast at Cana, and in that passage, Mary says to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." You see, folks, work done without the Lord's command is going to be nothing more than just simple will worship. It's unacceptable to the Lord. Where there is the word of a king, there is authority. Where there is the word of a king, there is power. And you may expect that power to go forth with you when you go forth under the guidance and authority of that divine command. Now, Solomon began to build the temple at the foundation. Now, you may smile and wonder, well, Pastor, how could he have started anywhere else? I know that's what some of you are thinking. Well, he started at the foundation. Well, duh. You know, where else could he start but the foundation? And you're right. I mean, that's just common sense, is it not? If you're going to build a building, you start with the foundation. You would not start anywhere else. You remember the Lord Jesus was talking about the wise man that built his house upon the rock. And then there was the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Now, what's the difference between them? I'll tell you what the difference is. This man over here who built on the rock took some instruments, some tools, and he dug down until he hit rock and then put his house upon the foundation. But this guy over here, he didn't worry about a foundation. He just built his house and sat it on the stone. He didn't want to dig. He didn't want that extra work. So he did not put his on the rock. And so when the storm came, this man's house did not wash away because he built upon the rock. But this man's house washed away because he built upon the sand. Folks, I'm saying you've got to have a sure foundation. And that is exactly what Solomon is doing right here in this passage of Scripture. There are too many people that try to build on without the foundation, and you cannot do that. I mean, I just wish that that people would use the same common sense when they go to build their spiritual house that they do when they go to build their physical house. Too many people are trying to begin their spiritual building at the top and work their way down. And folks, it does not work when you do it in that fashion. To baptize an unbeliever on the ground of faith, which does not yet exist, is putting on the roof before you lay the foundation. And I don't know if you understand that what I'm saying or not, but let me just put it down where everybody can get a hold of it. Most of your mainline denominational churches and the Catholics baptize their infants or baptize at the completion of some kind of catechism class. And that is not why baptism was instituted as an ordinance of the church. In every example of baptism in the Bible, the person was baptized after he or she trusted Christ as their Savior. They were not baptized first and then saved later. You will read throughout the book of Acts, and it will say, and he was saved and he was baptized. And he was saved and he was baptized. You will never read, and he was baptized, and then he was saved. You see, you don't get baptized to get saved. You get saved to get baptized. And it's always in that order. Now, when I have been to Israel, and we've been many times in the last 25 years, and I've taken many, many, many of you with me on that trip. And And you remember that when we got to Jerusalem, we went up on the Mount of Olives, and we looked down upon the Temple Mount. That's the place where the temple stood. It's not there now. It was destroyed. But that's the place where the temple stood. And we would all stand there and look down upon that and just be amazed. Do you remember how amazed you were when you stood there and looked down upon that? Well, then the next day, we went down into the city and we walked to the Wailing Wall, and I'll let you wander around there for a little bit. And then we went in a little doorway, and that took us underneath the Temple Mount. And you just go under that through that door and down, and you just keep going down, weaving your way through, and it's a maze under there. You go under, you think, oh my, we're never going to find our way out of here. But miraculously we do. And the guide knows where he's going. I don't know where we're going, and you don't know where we're going. But we get down there to the bottom, and we walk alongside a wall, and the guide stops us, and he says, I want you to look at these stones. And so we stop and look at them. And what do we notice? We notice these huge hewn stones. Now, I don't know how to describe them to you folks, but you see that second slat up there? From that second slat down to the bottom slat, that's about how high they are. It may be all the way up to where the first slat is. And then it's as long as that whole thing, and maybe probably two of them. One stone. Now you think about that. It is solid stone. And that is what they put as the foundation stone for the temple. And the Jews, the Orthodox, they go down there, and the women are not allowed access up there. So they go down to underneath where they're the closest to these stones, because they believe that there they are the closest to the place where the Holy of Holies sat in the temple. And you will see them under there, and they've got their sacred text, and they're bobbing and weaving back and forth, reading the law with body. That's why they do it this way, with body, soul, and spirit. Everything is involved in the reading of the Word of God under there. And so that's why they rock back and forth. They use their own bodies to say that they are obeying what God said. Worship in body and soul, or with body and soul and spirit. All right, so we look at those, and we see those stones. And every time we've been down there, and the guide explains to us, all right, do you see this mark? That's where it begins. You see it goes up and it goes over, and they are perfectly cut. Perfectly cut. And there's one stone stacked upon another. There's no mortar between them. You don't need mortar. When you've got a stone that big, and you've got a bunch of them on top of one another, exactly in the right spot, that's good enough for a foundation. And so the guide tells us this is, and it goes over to that crease, and you see it go down there. And that is one rock. And then the whole thing, when you stop and consider that the whole thing around there was built with those stones, you realize just how important the foundation is. Because, folks, they put on top of that an amazing structure. It was called the Temple of the Lord. And it was something to see. It was lit up in the night with torches, and people would come and see the gold and see the silver on it, and it was proclaimed to be one of the wonders of the ancient world. My, what a place it was. All right, so the temptation many times is to pay but small attention to the foundation, since much of it is out of sight. You know, the old adage, out of sight, out of mind. But not so with the wise king engaged in service for God. That temple was built for the Lord. And in order for it to be what one day would hold up that beautiful, ornate, and elaborate dwelling place for God on this earth, it was built upon a strong and a solid foundation of great stones, of costly stones, and of hewed stones. Isn't that amazing? All right, now that was my introduction. I'm sorry, but I had to lay all that. All right, now, two quick things. Number one, I want you to see two things. Number one, building on a sure foundation, that's the way God does it. That's just the way God does it. That's the way He did it here. And that's just the way God does it with us and our salvation. You've got to be on the sure foundation. Paul told the Corinthians, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." You see, dear friend, if you have any hope whatsoever of going to heaven, you have to be on the right foundation. Long before the stars were in the sky, and long before anything was created, in the mind of God, He prepared a way of redemption for you and for me. He knew that we would sin. He knew that we would need a redeemer. And so he made the plan before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ was to be the foundation upon which the covenant of grace is laid. And the Lord Jesus is that foundation, folks. He is infinite love. He is infallible wisdom. He is immutable faithfulness. And all these combined to lay a foundation that can never be moved. We've got to go through Jesus. Now, Paul said that in Ephesians 2:20, that the Lord Jesus was the chief cornerstone. Now think of that. I mean, He's the chief cornerstone. I could imagine all the angels in heaven before creation, and they're looking through heaven and wondering, well, what are we going to build on? What are we going to build on? And the Lord Jesus steps forth and says, "I, as the only begotten of the Father, I will be the foundation upon which salvation will rest." And as the cornerstone, He is able to bear up all that can be laid upon Him. Every time we've ever been over to Israel, you never see the superstructure. You never see that. It was destroyed. You remember, they filled it full of timbers, and they put kerosene on it. And then when they finished, got it all full of timber, they lit it, shut the doors, and walked away. And it sat in there and smoldered for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, finally, kaboom, when all the oxygen was taken out, that fire had to have oxygen. And it just blew, and just like the Lord said, there was not one stone left upon another. The only thing left was the foundation. Isn't that neat? The only thing left was that foundation. And my dear friend, I'm telling you, you go over there today, you look, and you will not see the superstructure. It is not there. But the foundation is still there. And God is saying that He is able to hold up any of us who come to God through Him. I want you to know, dear friend, that Jesus is able to save anybody. He can save the rich. He can save the poor. He said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. Do you know what that word all means? All, exactly right. You say, well, I wonder what the Greek word. No, all means all. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. He can save you regardless of what you have done. He can set the vilest sinner free, the song says. He can forgive the most wicked and save the most notorious of sinner. And I think the Lord Jesus Himself said it best when He said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, thank the Lord that we can come. I'm glad that I could come to Him. Man, I was a teenager, lost and on my way to hell, and a hippie, and just rebellious as I could be. And my mother told me about a month before she dragged me to church, she said, you're going to get saved. I'm going to pray that you get saved from your sin. If you don't, you're going to be dead before you're 21 years of age. And 4 weeks later, I got saved. And now I'm a whole bunch old. And I'm still alive. Amen. So thank the Lord the foundation was good enough for me, and it'll be good enough for you. You know, the world today wants to build on every other foundation except for the foundation of Christ. There are so many people today who are trusting in the superstructure that they put on top of the foundation. They want to start up here and work their way down. It doesn't go that way, folks. It doesn't go that way. Notice here, they built the foundation first. And you've got to be on the foundation first. Now, what does the Bible say here? It says, the wages of sin is what? Death. All right, very good. You all get an A. The wages of sin is death. Now think with me. The wages of sin is not baptism. Right? That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. Not baptism. Wait a minute. The wages of sin is not church membership. Now, I'm all for church membership. I think everybody who attends the Church of the Open Door ought to join the Church of the Open Door. I'm just a little bit prejudiced that way. But that's not going to get anybody to heaven. That's not how it works. You got to start on the foundation. You know, the wages of sin is death. It's not being a Baptist. Now, I'm a Baptist, but I'm not dependent on that to get me to heaven. The wages of sin is not tithing. I think all people ought to tithe. You say all people? Yes. All people. Everybody. Saved and unsaved. Tithing is a universal principle. It's not just for Christians. Everybody ought to tithe. God will bless you if you tithe. He says so in His Word. And I think everybody ought to tithe. But the wages of sin is not tithing. The wages of sin is not trying. Are you going to heaven, sir? If you died today, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I'm trying. That's not enough. You got to be on the foundation. The wages of sin is just not being a good person. I witnessed to a fellow a couple of months ago, and he said, Well, I think I would. I said, you're going to heaven? I think I would. I said, why do you say that? Well, I'm a good person. I said, are you really? He said, yeah. I said, explain that to me. He went, and he couldn't think of a thing to say. You know why? Because none of us are good people. We're all sinners. The best of men are only men at their best. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, there's only one kind of people in this world, and that's sinners. Now, there's two kinds of sinners. There's saved sinners and unsaved sinners. But we're all sinners. So you say, well, I'm a good person. No, the wages of sin is not being a good person. The wages of sin is death. Everybody with me on this? Amen. All right, are y'all awake? You understand what I'm saying? Amen. How many of you lost an hour's sleep last night? Every one of you did. Now, don't make it up now, all right? Make it up when you get home this afternoon, not now. All right, now, second thing, real quickly, I want you to see. Building on a sure foundation, that's not only God's way, but it's the wise way. What do we say about Solomon? We say he was the wisest man that ever lived, don't we? And so when he went to build a building, don't you think his wisdom kicked in? And he thought to himself, boys, we better make sure we build this foundation good. The foundation better be right. If we don't build it right, why, the temple is liable to fall over into the Kidron Valley. And that's not going to do anybody any good at all if it falls over into the Kidron Valley. So let's build it the right way. Now, folks, listen. When you build that temple the right way, your temple the right way, then you've got something that is going to stand. You've got something that's going to stand. That right foundation is going to secure your building. Mark it down. Let me illustrate that. When we lived down in West Virginia, I pastored down in West Virginia for 12 years before I went to Illinois and then came here. And there was a family down there, and they were going to build a house. Their parents passed, and they left them several acres of property, and they had been saving and preparing, and they wanted to build a house. Now, when it came time, they said, boy, Pastor, we're excited. We're going to build our house. And I said, good, where are you building it? And they told me, and I said, I went by there the other day, and I saw a bulldozer sitting there. Yep, that dozer's there. They're going to dig out our foundation, and we're going to pour the footers, and we're going to start on our house. And I said, wow, that's great. I'm so happy for you. And so I went by the next day, and on my way to the hospital, I went by there to visit, and I looked over, and there was a backhoe digging out the footers. And then the next day I went by, and there was a cement truck pouring cement down in the footer. And I thought, wow, this is coming together for them. Isn't that awesome? And then a couple of weeks later, I went by there, and I saw three great big flatbeds, and it had pieces of a house on the back of them. They got a prefabbed house, a glorified trailer. You with me? All right, you know what I'm talking about. Those are popular down in West Virginia. Tornadoes love them, love them. Tornadoes absolutely love them. Man, they can snap in a heartbeat. And if you can get a tornado down in those valleys, they love it. And if you do get a tornado down in those valleys, it's bad because it just bounces from side to side. But anyway, another sermon. But they were ready. They had their footers poured. Everything was set. And then the next day I went by, and the trailers were still sitting there. And they still had the house on them. And the bulldozers were there. And I thought, what in the world's going on? So Wednesday night, I went over and I said, hey, what happened? They said, preacher, you're not going to believe it. I said, what? Said they went to put that thing on the foundation, and somehow or another, we got the foundation wrong. The house won't fit. And I said, wow, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to sue them for one thing, try to get them to do it. But he said, we're in a jam. I said, yes, you are. You can't have half of that thing hanging over nothing. He said, yeah, that's right. Now, folks, there was nothing wrong with the house. Nothing at all wrong with the house. What was the problem? The problem was the foundation. And I'm afraid there's going to be an awful lot of people who are going to stand before God Almighty one of these days, and they're going to say, Lord, what do you mean I can't get in? What do you mean I can't come in? No, you built on the wrong foundation. You didn't have the right foundation. But Lord, I built a house. Yes, you did. You were as good a person as a sinner could be. But you never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You're not on the right foundation. You say, well, it's not my fault that happens. Listen, folks, we're all accountable to God. Even if the devil has sold you a wooden nickel, you're still accountable to God. So let me ask you this question. Are you on the right foundation? Are you sure, 100% sure, that you're saved and on your way to heaven? My friend, you've got to get on the right foundation. It is that simple.